All right. We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. And I don't know that we've done this in a long time, but there's a lot going on in the news concerning the Ten Commandments, simply because there's so many people that are against it. They want them taken out of the state houses and out of the courthouses, and wherever they found, they want them removed. It's amazing how so there's so many people today that's having a trouble with God, having trouble with Christianity. They don't like Jesus Christ. And we just went through the Christmas season where they were in uproar because of the nativity scenes. A lot of stuff going on. And it may be going on for a while. We weren't bothered with this kind of persecution in time past so much. And you know what? It could get worse. However, I'd like for us to look at these Ten Commandments and possibly see them in a little bit different light than we have in the past. Actually, hanging out these Ten Commandments in state houses, courthouses, and such things is, at the very best, it can only be a sign. But one's acceptance of the Ten Commandments and hanging them up. Hanging these things up don't make the United States a Christian nation. And it doesn't make us holy. We're going to start out, I think, in Matthew 19, because there's a young rich ruler here that was, he kept those Ten Commandments, but yet he knew he was lacking something. Begin reading in verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him being Jesus, of course, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God." Now, that's something we need to talk about later. Find out what the scriptures really mean when it speaks of good. "But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And the young man said to him, "Which? Which ones?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." And these are all things that are within the Ten Commandments. And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth up. What do I yet lack?" Now, this young man had kept the commandments from the days of his youth, yet he realized that he lacked something. The Ten Commandments was not bringing him into eternal life. So next Jesus said to him, "If you will be perfect, go and sell that you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Now, this is the message that we want to get right here. If you will be perfect, you're not going to be perfect by keeping the Ten Commandments. Bless your heart. If you know, you honor those Ten Commandments and you try to live by them, not a bad thing, but if you're expecting them to save you and make you perfect or to bring forth spiritual growth in your life, you're going to be missing it. You wind up just like this young rich ruler. You realize you still lack something. Take what you have, sell it, give to the poor. In other words, get rid of the things that are a hindrance to you. But here's the main thing. Come and follow me. His relationship with Christ is the thing that matters. Now, I want to look at a couple of verses of scripture from the 5th chapter of Matthew, after which we'll go over to the Ten Commandments and just read a few of them and take a look. Chapter 5, verse 17. They not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, this is one you need to keep in mind. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He did not come to destroy the Ten Commandments, but he comes to fulfill them. This is the same thing that he was telling that young rich ruler in chapter 19. He kept those Ten Commandments the best that he could, but he knew he was still lacking. And Jesus told him, all right, you follow me. In other words, establish a relationship with me. Keeping the Ten Commandments don't do anything for you if you don't have that relationship with the Lord. There's where it is. Why is that the case? Because he's the one that has to fulfill those commandments. Man can't do it. You can say, well, it says do not murder, so I'm not going to murder. You go through life and you never murder anybody. But you haven't really kept the commandments in the way that the Scripture talks about. And that has to be done. It's only Christ in you that can fulfill the commandments. But one other thing, a little further down in this fifth chapter, verse 21, Jesus said, now you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Is that one of the commandments? It is. Thou shalt not kill. And whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, not only does Christ fulfill those commandments, but he's the one that determines how they're to be viewed, how they're to be upheld, how they're to be thought of. He said, now you heard it said, thou shalt not kill. Listen, this is what I tell you about that. In other words, you just go back there into Exodus and Deuteronomy where it gives you the Ten Commandments and you read them and say, yeah, I won't do that. But you can break that commandment of thou shalt not kill simply by hating your brother. Now, I want to point out one other thing here. It says that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Now, that phrase there, without a cause, was added. That's not in the original. It was added because the translators from the Greek to the English said, that's a little harsh. Let's put without a cause in there. No, Jesus didn't say that. Well, Jesus said that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. Now listen, when you get angry, something negative is turned loose in your anger. That when it reaches the person you're angry with, it has a destructive force in it that kills, you see. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Look on down to verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you see, it's not the actual act only, but it's the lust in your heart. It's your feelings. It's the thinking of what you'd like to do. You see, it's what's in your heart that makes a difference. And this is why the relationship with Christ is so important. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ in us is the one that it has the ability to eliminate all of those things in our flesh nature, that lust, that craves, that gets angry and sends out that murdering spirit. Okay, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We find the Ten Commandments there. I hope this is coming through to you like I want it to. All right, we're not going to go over all the Ten Commandments. Mainly what I'm interested in is for us to learn how to relate to them properly. The Ten Commandments cannot save you. If it were possible, and I don't believe it is, but if it were possible that you could keep those Ten Commandments, that young rich ruler thought he had, that still is not going to accomplish what we're looking for. There has to be the relationship with Christ. Now, and don't forget what that scripture we just read, that he comes to fulfill the law. And the law we're talking about this morning is the law of the Ten Commandments. Now, down to verse 6 of chapter 5, Deuteronomy. I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. All right. Sorry, King James English. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Verse 11. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 17. Thou shalt not kill. And neither shall you commit adultery. In verse 18. Thou shalt not steal. In verse 19. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now here's what we've done in the past. We've read these Ten Commandments and said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt not do this. And then, being good Christians who want to do the right thing, we try not to do those things that it says thou shalt not. But we're relating to the scripture in the wrong way. I just showed you in the 5th chapter of Matthew how that Jesus said, you've heard in old times, thou shalt not. But I say unto you, it's what I'm getting at is the relationship that matters. When you have the relationship with Christ that counts, and Christ is in you, then you will not kill. Because he has taken over your life. You will have no other gods before you. Understand, Christians don't have other gods like idols and images and such things, but they have the God of their own carnal nature, lots of them in there. They think their reasoning is right above everything else. You can have a lot of different gods that are within you, and these are the gods that the Lord is talking about. Thou shalt have no other God before me. In other words, Christ is going to come forth in you and eliminate all those gods that are within you of your old earthly nature so that that law can be fulfilled. Thou shalt have no other God before me. If we look at that as, well, I'm not going to build a statue here like the Jews, Israelites did at one time and worship that. That's ridiculous. We're going to eliminate the things of our old nature. You remember in Galatians chapter 5 where Paul lists the works of the flesh? Those works of the flesh are within Christians, you see. And those works of the flesh have to be eliminated. And they can only be eliminated after Christ comes in you. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that accomplishes it. So, that's why the relationship is so important, and that is the one and only way that these commandments can be committed, be accomplished. I am the Lord your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God that will eliminate all those gods in you. I am the Lord thy God that will keep you from murdering, because we're going to get rid of that murder spirit that's in you. We don't understand. Within human nature is the potential for murder. Within human nature is the potential of adultery. Oh no, I would never do anything like that. Yeah, you would, under the right circumstances, because that's in flesh net. The potential is there in every person, you see. And so just not doing acts is not a thing. It's the relationship that matters. You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. All right, let's look at one commandment here, and we'll stop. Found in verse 19, thou shalt not steal. That sounds very, very simple. Well, that's going to be an easy one. I just won't steal anything. I won't take anything that doesn't belong to me. If it belongs to a neighbor or someone, I'm not going to take it. It's not mine. I shall not steal it. But you got to understand what it's talking about. This was a commandment given to the Israelites who were under covenant with God. They were a covenant community. They belonged to God. And so when it says, thou shalt not steal, what it's really talking about is, you shall not man steal. And that's not just simply kidnapping either. To steal a man, what it's talking about is, see how should I put it, if you keep a person from becoming what God wants him to be, you have stole him, stole what he is, what he could be later on. So we become responsible. A lot of churches are guilty of this because they minister to the people, but they never bring them into the spiritual maturity that they need to be. What the man they should become never takes place because they were not brought into it. They didn't get the teaching they needed. And what happened? Their destiny was stolen. The man that they could become was stolen. Thou shalt not steal. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that accomplishes it. So,